Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing today. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons, and everybody else in the Dark Forest family. Now, let's get spooky. So last night, my friend contacted me as he needed a ride home from work, and I was the only one available to do so. Initially, his dad was going to give him a ride, but he had an unexpected work emergency come up, so I was his last shot before asking a coworker. He hates asking people he doesn't know closely for things. We live in Minnesota, so being it was already 9:30 p.m. when he called me, it was already dark outside by that point. Now, when I say that we live in Minnesota, I don't mean like way up north in the absolute middle of nowhere, but we live about halfway between St. Cloud and Minneapolis. The drive up to pick him up was pretty uneventful, as I took County Road 10 from where I lived to pick him up. Anyone who lives in Minnesota knows that this road is basically more of a highway for rural, smallish towns. I picked him up from the gas station where he works at, and started the trip to bring him home. Now my friend, I'll just refer to him as Jay, as to not include any direct names, lives out in one of those townships in Minnesota. This means that for the most part, there are mostly either large pastures, as there are lots of farms in these areas, or woods. Not much in between. This also means that Jay's house is, for the most part, in the middle of nowhere, and so are the back roads you need to take to get there. These back roads mean that there's just enough space on the road for two cars, and a bit more road on each side for rumble strips to wake anyone up who may fall asleep at the wheel, before either a bunch of gravel grass that led to a ditch, and then finally woods, or aforementioned pastures. I had my high beams on, as there's lots of deer and other wildlife in this time of year, so I wanted them to see me before it was too late and they totaled my car. About halfway into the drive, I saw the outline of something in the middle of the road. I assumed this to be a deer, so I slowed down in order to avoid hitting it. Upon coming closer to the figure, however, I saw that it began to resemble a coyote more. This wasn't surprising to me though, as there's lots of those in Minnesota. They're like rats with how many of them there are. As we came closer to the figure, I got a really uncomfortable feeling as the coyote was refusing to move out in the middle of the road. Another reason that I felt uncomfortable was that while it did look like a coyote, it was just off-looking. Now, I know how coyotes look. I was in the Boy Scouts from kindergarten to 7th grade, and we've seen plenty of them while camping. But this one, its front and hind legs were about 1.5 sizes too long. Its torso was also oversized, and its neck was too long. To top this all off, it was also overly bony, and looked like it hadn't eaten in weeks. This is very concerning, as there are plenty of small game that coyotes can feed on out in this area. Already, I wanted to be out of this place just by the way that thing looked, and the fact that the thing didn't take off immediately upon the car getting close to it. I really didn't feel like dealing with this rabid coyote. Now, to get into the thing that unsettled me the most, as I drove slightly off of the road to go around the thing. I swear the thing looked straight at both of us. I know I wasn't the only one who felt this, as Jay spoke up. "Kinda looks like it's staring at us," and gave me a slight uneasy chuckle. Now, when I say that it looked at us, I don't mean it looked at the car, but seemed to lock eye contact with both of us. Even more unsettling is that its eyes weren't yellow like a typical coyote's, but they were green and looked extremely bloodshot. After getting around it, I took off as fast as I could and finished bringing Jay home. He, of course, joked around and said things like, "Oh, maybe it was a skinwalker," and laughed at how freaked out I was. The thing is, though, this isn't the only time I've had an experience just like this, as I've had another situation where I was driving home from Alexandria around 11 p.m., to which I just shrugged it off as it probably being a rabid coyote. But after last night, I'm 99% positive that this thing was not a rabid coyote. I know, I'm probably just letting my imagination get the best of me. But the fact that I've had something incredibly similar to this happen in the past makes me think that maybe it's not just a coincidence. Feel free to let me know what y'all think, as I'd really like to get more people's input on this, and I want to make sure I'm not going crazy. Nonetheless, I think I'm going to try and avoid the back roads as much as I can for the next few months here. Who knows? Maybe it'll start following me now since I'm talking about it. And I'll have more stories in the near future. No one seems to notice. Not my mom. Not my dad, nor my sister. No one but me. My brother Daniel was sitting in front of me, tapping the table with his right index finger. You wouldn't have noticed this, but my brother taps the table with his left index finger. He always does. It's been 2 weeks since my 13th birthday. It was the same day he announced he was going to leave for university soon, and the same day he started acting differently. It was the little things most people wouldn't notice, but Daniel and I are close. We never left each other's sides, so I picked up on it quickly. He was amazing at crash team racing, not so much for me. He knew that, and he would pretend to be bad and let me win a lot. But when I play with him now, it's like he never touched a video game before. He pretends that he's playing badly on purpose, but it wasn't pretending. He loved pasta and cheese and chicken, but when my mom would bring it out, he would seem just mildly happy. We rarely had it, and whenever we did, you would be able to see the excitement on his face. He was sleeping on his back quietly with the closet open. We slept in the same room for as long as I could remember. He used to sleep on his right side and snore like an animal every night. He always shut the closet door for me. I always saw something standing whenever I woke up in the middle of the night. He never found anything in the closet, but I swore to him I always saw something, so he promised to shut it every night for me. But he stopped after my birthday. Something is wrong. This isn't my brother. I just know it. I'm planning to take it down, but I have to make sure this isn't my brother. I have an idea. I will test him. I know Daniel will have no problem passing the test. He always loved going on adventures with me, so I invited him to come with me. He was busy on his computer, saying that he's busy with the university application, but I insisted until he came with me. We went to an abandoned building not so far away from my house. We came to this building years ago. We explored the rooms together. They were dusty, creepy, and unsettling. But I cared more about finding out if this person was my brother. We arrived at an empty small room with an infinity symbol drawn with chalk. Daniel drew it when we came here years ago. I was afraid Daniel would leave me. He told me he would be here for me forever as he drew it, saying his love for me equals infinity. I asked Daniel if he knew who drew this or knew what it was. He said that he didn't know who drew it, and it means infinity. Now I'm sure. This isn't my brother. This person is an imposter. I have to take care of him. The night settled and silence filled our house. Everyone was asleep. I was in the kitchen, sharpening the knife my mom always used. I watched my mom do it a lot. I wasn't any good at doing it, but it was better to make sure that the thing is dead. I stood next to my brother's bed as he slept quietly. I held the knife with a firm grip. I prayed to God, any God, he would snore and I would be wrong. I stood there for a second, waiting for it, but all there was silence. It was dark. I didn't know what happened. It's like my entire world became dark as I raised the knife. I couldn't see, hear, or feel. It's like I stopped existing. Moments later, I was on the ground. I heard screams of agony and pain. Daniel was bleeding. Wait, no. He's supposed to be the monster. Why was he bleeding like a normal human? Why does his screams sound like his screams when he was hurt? My dad and mom barged in. Everything happened so fast. The next thing I knew, I was being dragged by the police. Was I wrong? Did I just try to murder Daniel? Why? Why did I even think of doing this? My mind was flooded. I was filled with guilt. It's been 3 months since that incident. I was admitted to a mental facility. I haven't spoken a word after the incident. What I did never left my mind for even a second. My parents haven't visited me yet, and Daniel would have left for the university tomorrow if I didn't stab him. I was told I had a visitor. I was laying on my bed as I heard the door open. It was Daniel. He was wearing a medical eye patch. I couldn't even look in his direction, feeling the guilt killing me. He sat next to my bed as he started talking. I didn't want to hear his voice, but I couldn't stop listening. He was asking me how I was doing, if the facility was nice, if I needed anything. I couldn't muster a response. I heard Daniel asking for a hug. I couldn't stop myself from breaking down and crying. I hugged him as he comforted me. I told him he acted differently. He didn't spend as much time as he used to, and even forgot the symbol he drew for me. I thought he was a monster or something pretending to be him. I felt his hand rubbing on my back. "You're not wrong," he said as I cried. "Wait, what?" I let go of the hugging, slowly confused. I asked if he could repeat it. He did. He said I wasn't wrong. "I'm not wrong? I must be imagining it." He grabbed my hand and handed me something. I couldn't move my eyes away from it. It was an eye. Daniel's eye that I stabbed. It was cut in half. My hand started shaking as I looked up. Daniel was smiling ear to ear, literally. His smile was so wide it was inhuman. His hand grabbed his face and pulled it upwards like it was a mask. "What the hell is that? That wasn't my brother. That wasn't even human. But what was wearing Daniel's skin? It sounded like Daniel, but it wasn't human." I know what the hell I was looking at. It was the thing that I always saw in the closet. I screamed and cried as he let go of me. Nurses came in, trying to calm me down as the thing got up to leave. He smiled as he waved goodbye. "That thing isn't my brother."